I believe that by now, most of you, all of you, probably will have heard that Bishop Haiying of the Diocese of Madison has dispensed all the Catholics in the diocese from their Sunday Mass obligations. So you are not obliged to receive, to go to Holy Mass on Sundays until this is lifted. Of course, this doesn't mean that you stop praying. There are things that you can do, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And also, I just want to remind you that it's never obligatory to go to Holy Communion at Mass. If this is something that you're afraid to do or worried or concerned about, it's not obligatory to go to Holy Communion at Mass, but for once a year. So you keep that in mind, and I'll be talking about that in just a moment as well. The county and the city of Madison, but the county, which concerns us, put out something banning gatherings, even for Mass, that are over 250 people. We don't reach that here. But if I'll be trying to keep things a little short so that we don't have a big, you know, kind of a mix in the narthex of people coming in and going out, and maybe I know how much you love to talk to each other after Mass, but it could be that in this time we're going to have to curtail that a little bit. I think you understand why, and it's a reasonable thing to do. It's too bad, because wherever I go, I've always found that after traditional Mass, people love to stay and talk to each other in a way that I haven't seen in many places. So that's a general observation that I've made. After Holy Mass today, I'll be giving a special blessing that is extracted from the Roman ritual, and at the end of which the blessing will be given with a relic of the cross. I'd also like finally to draw your attention to a beautiful statue of Saint San Rocco, who is a great patron against contagion and epidemics and illness and so forth. He was right over there, but I see he's migrated over here. Father Heilman found the statue and had it brought in. You'll notice that he has his little pilgrim shell, his little dog down here, and he's pointing to a wound on his leg, and he's a pilgrim. He had caught a disease on pilgrimage, and this makes him a great patron. And in the future, we'll be having prayers to San Rocco. Today, we'll be having a special prayer, blessing with a relic of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My friend, Father George Rutler in New York, has usually a very fine, brief pastor's page, always well thought out. And today, he included in his page a note about a great figure from around the time of World War I, a great figure in the church, Cardinal Mercier. He was an important figure for the revival of the study of St. Thomas Aquinas, for example. But Rutler recounted a lovely practical formula for happiness that Cardinal Mercier recommended. And I'll read this to you. It's truly lovely. This is from Cardinal Mercier. Every day, for 5 minutes, control your imagination and close your eyes to the things of sense and your ears to all the noises of the world in order to enter into yourself. Then, in the sanctity of your baptized soul, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, speak to that divine spirit, saying to him, O Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only to know your will. If you do this, your life will flow along happily, serenely, and full of consolation, even in the midst of trials. Grace will be proportioned to the trial, giving you strength to carry it, and you will arrive at the gate of paradise laden with merit. That's advice from Cardinal Mercier via Father Rutler. And if you want to find that, when you go home, you can look up online. Go and find Father Rutler. Just look up George Rutler and St. Michael's in Manhattan, and you'll find a link to his pastor's page that has this very text here that I read to you. And you can always look up also Cardinal Mercier. This is very important for us to remember. You know, I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating, that of all the possible universes God could have created, this is the one he created, not some other one. He knew who we were before the creation of this cosmos, and he called us into being exactly at the moment when he knew we needed to be born. This is our time, not some other time, not the past, not the future. This is our time. And so if we, with real devotion, try to live our vocations as best we can, submitting ourselves to the authority of the church and using the sacraments well, trying to stay true to the duties that flow from our state in life, whatever it might be, loving God, saying our prayers, performing works of mercy, trying to stay in the state of grace, God will give us every actual grace that we need. And if we can get to the end, like Cardinal Mercier suggests here, and we submit ourselves to him, we will come to the gates of heaven laden with merit. You think about that. Think of the beauty of the sanctity of your baptized soul. What a gift it is to be born into this, our time. And the more difficult the time it is, the greater the honor, the greater the gift it is, because we have even more opportunities for graces as a result of the difficulties that we'll face. Now, I firmly believe that if Catholics begin to take this time seriously, we're going to see some interesting things happen in the church. I'm already hearing from all over the world that Eucharistic processions and other kinds of processions are beginning. Eucharistic adoration is starting up. Actually, more masses are being said, even privately, especially for specific purposes. It's as if we are beginning to rediscover who we are. We're recapturing our identity that was lost maybe for a long time. We see here a new statue of San Rocco, new old statue, recovered. But it's a perfect example. We're recovering things, putting things that haven't been used for a long time back to use again. It's like we're rediscovering who we are, waking up in the midst of necessity. The potential here is that there will rise up among us in the church true spiritual warriors who will use well the tools of spiritual warfare. And one of those tools is a spiritual communion, making a spiritual communion. There are various formulas for making, various prayers for making a spiritual communion. Some of them are old classics. You might know some of these already, or you might have heard them long ago and maybe haven't thought about them or looked at them for a long time. But you can find them online very easily. Some of them, they're very beautiful prayers. And like what Cardinal Mercier is saying here, to be quiet, to be still for a little bit, enter into the sanctity of your baptized soul. Invoke the Holy Spirit, and then after doing that, perhaps, make a spiritual communion. Now, of course, there are spiritual writers who say that making a spiritual communion can bring as graces equal, if not greater, than making a regular communion, depending on the disposition of your soul. But one thing is for sure, you have to be in the state of grace to receive those graces. So making a good confession is important. Perhaps also before doing so, saying an Our Father, using some holy water for the remission of venial sins, making a good spiritual communion. It doesn't take very long. You can do it anywhere, anytime. People don't have to know you're doing it, even if there are other people around. But making a spiritual communion could be a powerful, a mighty, mighty weapon in the hands of a spiritual warrior. Bringing all your petitions into it at that moment, praying for the world and its needs, for your loved ones and their needs, for yourself and your needs, simply to glorify God for all the good things, thanking Him for all the gifts that He gives, making a good spiritual communion. Making a spiritual communion is something that you can do at Mass. As a matter of fact, making a spiritual communion is a wonderful preparation for receiving Holy Communion physically. But it's something that you can do all the time. And I urge you to explore this beautiful devotion that was so important to so many holy people, our forebears, the members of our family, our Catholic family from years and centuries past. And then once you find one of the prayers that works best for you, and maybe you're a pattern, a point in your day when you choose to do this, maybe at a set time, then repeat it. If you want to be good at something, if you want to be good at carpentry, you have to do carpentry. If you want to be a piano player, you have to practice. If you want to be a baseball player, well, you have to play baseball and do lots and lots and lots of drills. And that's the way it is with anything. If you want to be good at something, you have to repeat it and practice. Holiness is what we need right now. In the face of all possible challenges within the church and without, from the world or from within the soul, because all of us are constantly dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as we heard from the gospel readings today, we know that the devil is real and wants to make sure that we are demoralized and discouraged and flat on the ground, not even trying to get up. But we win. We have all of the wonderful spiritual weaponry and tools and armor.